You make preparations as we make preparations to hear the words of Scripture for us this day from Mark's Gospel. If you are able, I would invite you to please stand. Now, after John the Baptist was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his son Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boats mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. May God's blessing rest upon the reading and the hearing of these holy words for us this day, for they are the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Gracious and loving God, we are thankful for these words of Scripture, for their teaching and claim upon our lives. And now, O God, in these moments that we share together, give us rest, give us a sense of peace and comfort. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, may they be pleasing and acceptable, O God, to you, our rock and our redeemer. For we ask and pray in Christ's name. Amen. Remember these words as the sermon progresses that we shared together in the bottom of page 48. With God's help, we will so order our lives after the example of Christ that, surrounded by steadfast love, you may be established in the faith and confirmed and strengthened in the way that leads to eternal life. When I was looking at the scriptures for this morning, I happened to glance at the Old Testament and my heart leapt, because Jonah is a fascinating story. And I've always thought, if I were ever visiting a church somewhere and suddenly word gets out that the preacher's not available, something has happened, is there anyone available that could preach, I would preach on Jonah, even though it's Old Testament. It is dramatically apropos to us today. Jonah, in a very few short days, is the worst prophet ever, and yet the best prophet ever. We start Jonah, the word of God comes to Jonah, and God says, "Go to Nineveh and share my words with them." Nineveh is that way. Jonah goes this way, because he doesn't want to have anything to do with Nineveh. And so we know the scriptures tell us that he went and he bought a ticket on board a ship that would take him to Tarshish. And as he's on the way, there is a storm. The ship is being tossed to and fro, water coming over the sides. The sailors begin to throw things overboard to lighten the ship so it'll rise a little bit out of the water and not take on as much. And eventually they find Jonah, and I believe he's down in the hold of the ship, catching a few Z's. They wake him up and say, "How in the world can you be sleeping in the midst of all of this? Get up here with the rest of us and pray to your God that we might be delivered. Who is it that you worship?" "Oh, I'm an Israelite. I worship the God who is the God of everything, the God who is, who was, who will forever be, the God who has created everything." Oh, they're scared. So they continue, and finally they cast lots and it falls on Jonah. And Jonah says, "You got to throw me overboard. You throw me overboard, everything will be okay." Well, they really don't want to do that. And finally, they pray to Jonah's God, "Please forgive us for what it is we are about to do, that this man's blood will not be upon our hands." Overboard Jonah goes, and the seas are calm. Big fish comes and swallows Jonah. Bit of trivial information, if you're ever asked about a whale, no. Doesn't say whale, it says a big fish. Somebody said to me, "Well, I didn't think you know, if we do with the whale thing, that they could swallow people. They have really small, whatever that thing, esophagus, windpipe, esophagus, whatever goes there. Well, I believe for the God who spoke and the universe and everything that is came into being, a fish there, a whale that could swallow Jonah, no big thing. But at any rate, he's in this belly for a few days, and the scriptures then go into a psalm, almost a time of repentance, that God has heard my voice and will indeed deliver me. And so 3 days later, Jonah is vomited up onto the shore. I'll bet Jonah wished he'd have been in the water so he could have gotten cleaned off first. And again, the word of God comes to Jonah. Go to Nineveh. It's a huge city, takes 3 days to walk across. Jonah goes in a day's journey and begins to preach the good news of God, and everyone repents. From the king down to the animals, everyone takes on sackcloths and ashes. A huge fast is called, and Jonah is ticked. I told you, God, you were going to do that. And he goes up into the mountains. He's sulking under the heat of the day. God causes a tree, I believe a broom tree, to grow and to give him shade. Jonah is happy. A little worm comes and eats the tree. It dies, and Jonah is ticked again. And the story kind of ends. Why is Jonah upset that he was called to go to Nineveh? Well, if you do a little bit of research, you'll see that Nineveh was the capital of Assyria. The Assyrians were some of the biggest enemies of Jerusalem, of Israel in the time. God, Jonah probably was thinking, I do not want those people sitting in synagogue with me. I do not want them converted. I don't want them here. I don't like them. Jump ahead to Jesus telling the story of the parable of the Good Samaritan. A man's on his journey, and on the roadway, he's robbed and beaten and left half dead along the side of the road. A priest comes along the way. The priest sees him, walks to the other side of the road, and continues on because his liturgical duties tell him that if he gets involved, he can no longer do those liturgical duties for X number of days until he's ritually pure. And well, I just can't do that. The Levite comes by and he's involved in the liturgical duties as the church as well. And he can't get involved either, so he walks the other way. But a Samaritan comes by, and a Samaritan stops and binds his wounds, cleans him, puts him on his donkey, takes him to the inn and says, handle his expenses, I'll be back in a couple days, I'll pay for the rest. Jews and Ninevites did not get along together. Jonah did not want to go. Jews and Samaritans did not get along. 500 years they had been enemies. And the Samaritan's the hero of the story. Who's your Samaritan? Who is it that God just might send to help you? What individual, what coworker, what neighbor, what family member, what group of people outside of the walls of this church do you not want in this church? That's who God's calling you to go to share the good news. Jesus called 4 more of his disciples today, friends. And there's no doubt in my mind that Jesus Christ calls each and every one of us by name and says, you are to go and to be my disciple. And we are called to go and be disciples, to disciple those individuals that we don't want in here, and yet that need to be in here. With God's help, we will so order our lives after the example of Jesus Christ. That surrounded by steadfast love, you may be established in the faith, confirmed and strengthened in the way that leads to eternal life. You and I, my friends, are called to be disciples so that we can say that when each and every person comes and stands before and in the presence of Almighty God and says, I want to yield my life to Christ. You are a disciple. God calls us to go to the least, to the lost, to the lonely, to those friends and family members that we enjoy their fellowship. God calls us to go. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, your Son, Jesus Christ, reached out and offered to all people. And we seek, O God, to be his faithful servants, to seek to be those who are willing to go forth into the world, whether we like him or not, to be the good news, to share the good news, to offer grace and forgiveness and salvation through Jesus Christ. O God, continue to bless us and strengthen us, empowering us, O God, to be your church, your disciples, your servants. For it's in Jesus Christ's holy and precious name that we pray. Amen.